welcome each and every one of you today to this service of thanksgiving for the life of Joy Spears, who has gone into glory to be with her Lord and Saviour. On behalf of the family, can I just express that your presence with them is very much appreciated, and they are thankful, I'm sure, for your participation here with them at this time. We come together to worship our God, to give thanks and praise for the life of Joy, to mourn a relative, to honour a departed friend, and to weep together with those that weep. Certainly as a church family, we would express our deep Christian sympathies to the whole of the Spears family, and we assure you of our prayers for you. We believe that those who die in Christ share eternal life in him, with him. Therefore, even in a time of sorrow such as this, we come together to offer thanks to our God and to rejoice in the hope that is given to us through the death and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. We gather recognizing the certainty of our own coming death and judgment, and yet we proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen indeed, and that all those who believe on him, and by God's grace that includes our sister Joy, will rise with him. Our Savior declared in John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." We cling to that wonderful hope even today. I'm going to read with you from the Word of God, the Psalm number 46. It's a psalm that was precious to Joy. You'll see on your booklet that the first verse and a little of the second verse is there on the front cover. It's a psalm that was dear to her heart, and it's a psalm that's dear to the hearts of God's people, a psalm that gives comfort to the people of God at a time such as this. The Psalm number 46, we read, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. Let's bow together in prayer before the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee, our glorious God, with great thankfulness in our hearts for the difference that the gospel makes for us at a time such as this. We're glad today that we are invited by thy word to lift our eyes upward and to see Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, who has lived for his people and gone to Calvary and died the death that we deserved. And we thank thee, O God, that he is risen indeed. We praise thee today that even though outwardly this is a scene of sorrow, that yet we can rest in thy promises and recognize that there are great comforts for us. There is great hope for we who are the people of thee, our God, and we marvel at your grace and your mercy toward us. We marvel at all that's found in Christ and in the gospel. And certainly, O God, we give you thanks for the impact that the gospel had in the life of Joy Spears. We praise thee, O God, that we come to a day like this to grieve, yes, but also to express our thanks to thee that she knew salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for your work in her life from the day and hour when you brought her onto Jesus Christ as her own Savior, and then even how you've worked in her life and produced so much fruit of godliness, so many evidences of grace. We thank thee, O God, for your work in her life right through, and we praise thee, O God, that you've been faithful to her, that as you began a good work in her, so you have finished it and brought it to completion. We thank thee, O God, that our sister today is in the presence of Christ, which is far better. We certainly pray, O God, that you would dwell with each one of us here today as we grieve and as we sorrow. We pray especially for the Spears family, and we pray for your great mercies to be poured out upon them. O Lord, that you would draw near and that your strength may be known for each one. We pray especially for Trevor, and we ask, O God, that you would be his portion at this time. We ask, O Lord, that you would remember even all of the children. We pray for each one. We pray, O Lord, that you would be merciful to Heather and to Ken. We pray for Noreen and David and for Graham and for Ashley and Wendy. We pray, O God, for Kylie and Wayne, and we commit them each one to thy care, and the grandchildren and great-grandchildren as well. And we pray, O Lord, that you would be merciful to those brothers and sisters that have been left behind as well. We pray for Max and Liz and Billy, and we pray that your mercies would be known in the whole family circle, that Christ would be very real to each one at this time, that you would give each one a faith to rest in his promises and the comforts of the gospel, and yes, to rejoice even at a time such as this. We come before thee thankful that we can ask for the forgiveness of our sins through Christ, through his shed blood, through his death. And we do so and ask that you would favor us now and be with us in this time and glorify your name. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's join together in the singing of the first hymn that is there in your little booklet, just in through a couple of pages. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son. And certainly it is because of the great things our God has done, particularly through Jesus Christ, that we can come to a time like this with real hope and real comfort. Let's stand together and sing unto the Lord.
Truly believes that moment from Jesus. Jesus, the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. One of the blessings that our sister Joy knew was that tremendous blessing of family. And at this point, I'm going to ask some of the family members to come and to speak a few words. I'm going to invite one of Joy's sons, Graham Spears, to come, and also Monique Eglinton, one of Joy's granddaughters, to come and speak a few words.
Firstly, just before I start, Dad asked me to pass on some thanks. Firstly, on behalf of Dad and the rest of family, would like to say thank you for each one that has come along today to remember Mum's life and treasure the memories we have shared with her. Also, Dad would like to thank all the hospital staff at Port Lincoln, Cummins and the health centre here at Lock for taking great care of Mum during the time of her illness. It helps a lot when you have great people helping you through tough times. Also, thank you for the meals that have been prepared and still are from the Lock Lions Club. They have been a big help, knowing that for a couple of days, meals were being provided for Dad and Mum, and also for the ladies from the Port Lincoln Church helping out with meals as well. Personally, for me, I thank you for the support from the Lock School, my team members from the Lock Ambulance, and the assistance they provided for Mum, and also for my workmates I clean with at the school. Thank you also for the ladies of the Lutheran Church and the Lock Lions Club for supplying afternoon tea after the service. Thank you all on behalf of Dad and the family for your support today. Mum wasn't big on making a huge fuss with speeches at funerals, but the family decided to have a short summary of her life. Mum was born at Tumby Bay to Alex and Elsie Slater and grew up at Numpara, Yalana, with her two older brothers, Uncle Max and Uncle Doug. At about 16, Mum's mother died due to kidney failure, and Mum took on the role of looking after the household. Mum enjoyed sports, especially tennis and netball. She also was also involved in the picture shows where she and Uncle Doug ran the local cinema at Yalana, with Mum being responsible for the ticket sales and Uncle Doug operated the projector. On her first dance outing to the Yalana Hall, Dad asked, may I have this dance, please? She was so surprised and hesitant when Dad asked her if Alan Slater was her uncle. She replied with a yes, and Dad said, he is my uncle also. They made a plan to see each other at the next dance, but Dad forgot as he was busy doing work on the farm. So he received a phone call next morning to find out where he was, and needless to say, in due time they were engaged and later married on the 25th of July 1962. Dad and Mum took up residence at Coringle Lock, just east of Lock, and ran the family farm with Dad's parents and Uncle Billy, where Heather, Nolene and I were born. Due to Dad's health, we moved to Queensland for 3 years, living in a caravan where Ashley was born at Serena. After returning to the Eyre Peninsula in 1972, Dad and Mum attended the Eyre Bible Fellowship at Ederley Hall in 1976, where they both asked Christ to be their saviour, and Mum was baptised on the 26th of March 1978. In 1977, we sold the farm at Lock and moved to Polder Station, which they had purchased in 1967. Kylie was born the year later in 1978. In the same year, Mum and Dad started the Polder Camps. These were Christian youth camps that ran over 3 days of Bible meetings, bonfire, craft and sports activities, as well as three meals a day where Mum worked tirelessly behind the scenes to ensure the preparation and smooth running of the camps. Mum loved the garden and spent much time in setting up and maintaining the extensive flower, veggie and fruit gardens around Polder Home, in between homeschooling three children. During fruit season, we spent day after day picking fruit and bottling it up for preserving and picking strawberries that filled up most of the kitchen table. Mum described herself just as a housewife, but we are amazed how she ran a household with three square meals a day, driving kids to the school bus and then later homeschooling the youngest three. Helped out in the shearing shed, gardening, laundry, baking bread and smoko.
Since 1984, Grandma was dedicated to the playing of the piano for the church services and was involved in teaching and assisting Sunday school and Bible club. For a number of years, Grandma was responsible for the Australian Mailbox Club, where Bible lessons based on age were posted out to children. Each lesson contained a story, memory verse, and quiz. The students would return the quiz via post for marking by Grandma, who would send off the next lesson. Most children were from Zimbabwe and Botswana, and Grandma was keeping in touch with one of the students up until about a few weeks before going into hospital. In 1995, Grandpa and Grandma retired into Locke, where Grandma became quite computer literate, becoming even more proficient than some of her children. She even published a book on the Spears' history. She learnt how to conduct internet searches, contact relatives via email, and then design and publish the book from scratch. Both Grandpa and Grandma spent much of their time dedicated to the service of the Lord. Show bags with gospel literature were put together on the kitchen table just like an assembly line. 600 show bags were given out, as well as free Bibles and Christian tracts at each field days and shows for many years. They also organised an article that went out to all the households on the Eyre Peninsula, which involved typing, printing and folding. There were over 12,000 leaflets prepared each month. Grandma was involved in singing at the aged care facilities in Elliston, Woodna, Cleve and Cummins. Grandma kept all the handmade presents and letters, notes from all her family and enjoyed visits from the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She passed on family treasures to remember her by. Grandma had great health up until July 2020 when she was diagnosed with melanoma. She had treatment but sadly passed away without pain and with Grandpa by her side. We will always remember Grandma as a quiet servant of our Lord and Saviour.
I thank both Graham and Monique for bringing those comments, and it is tremendous to hear of one who humbly served the Lord in so many ways. And certainly one of the challenges that is set before us as we think of someone like Joy, who often was happy to quietly work away, plug away for the Lord behind the scenes. There's a challenge there for those who are younger. Who's going to step into the gap and serve the Lord as she did? Sometimes it can be easy to serve in a way where you're always looking for the praise and the spotlight. Well, there she was so often, willing to do this thing and that thing and the other thing, not necessarily getting great credit for it, but onto the Lord and serving him, and praise God for that in her life. I'm also going to ask three of Joy's daughters, Heather and Nolene and Kylie, to also come, and I'm told they're bringing some words on behalf of their father, Trevor.
Dad has asked us to read this on his behalf. Trevor and Joy had done everything possible together as the Lord had planned from their first meeting at the Alana Heart Campaign Ball and onwards. The Lord Jesus brought them together through previous difficult and painful circumstances and united them in marriage on the 25th of July 1962 and kept them together. They travelled together and were even saved together on the same day, on the 17th of October 1976, by God's grace, mercy and love, to serve him and each other.
They stayed together through difficult times, lived and loved the same things, from the simple and seemingly unimportant to the absolute and critical faith in the substitutional sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the tree of Calvary. Christ took the punishment of our sin on himself, thereby giving us the faith to believe with all our heart, soul and mind in his death, resurrection and ascension to the right hand of his Father's throne and coming again invisible for power and authority.
Trevor and Joy read the scriptures daily to the children, then later by themselves twice daily and in prayer, which represented our family altar, believing and trusting in Jesus Christ at all times, even in death, and the transporting of their souls and spirits into the presence of Jesus Christ. Also that he will come again and there will be great and glorious resurrection of believers in their glorified bodies, clothed in a white garment of the righteousness of Christ to be ever with the Lord. If there was ever a time that husband and wife were together, it was the last few minutes when Joy was still aware of Trevor's presence. Trevor gave her a hug and a kiss, and then a moment later, Joy's spirit and soul passed into the presence of her Lord and Saviour, Redeemer and King, Jesus Christ.
Again, I thank you for bringing those words. And while not easy, it takes a lot of strength and courage to be able to stand and to do that at a time such as this. But what a hope that there is, and it's found in that gospel that her sister Joy was clinging to. What a difference that makes on a day such as this. And praise the Lord for it. We're going to take up our booklets again, and we're going to sing together the words of that second hymn in the booklet, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood." It's a hymn which expresses the wonder of God's grace, that people such as ourselves would be able to gain any sort of benefit from the work of Christ. Remember, he is the Lord of glory, and yet here's this hymn expressing this wonder that he should be willing to do so much so that people like us can have sin forgiven and have a hope of eternal life with himself. We'll stand together and we'll sing, "And Can It Be?"
Helpless race.
Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you some words from the Word of God and consider them with you today for a number of moments. The portion I'm looking at is found in Luke chapter 23, and I'll read just a little section, just a few verses from the end of verse 39. Luke 23 and verse 39, and we read together of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the events surrounding that. Let's hear the Word of God. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I'll end there with those words. Perhaps we should pray together and seek the Lord's help in just briefly looking at his word. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the power that is found in thy word. We're glad that as we come to the scriptures and the testimony is given to Jesus Christ, that there is power here to comfort, there is power here to build up, there is power here to encourage, and what a need there is for those things among the family circle and others who grieve today. We thank thee too, Lord, that there's power here to deal with our hearts and to change us thoroughly. Power here to show us our need of Christ and to work in our hearts and give us the invitation and to draw us to the Savior. And we pray that you would come and sovereignly use your word just now. Cause it, O God, to accomplish great and mighty things and meet the need for each one of us as we gather here humbly in your presence. We ask in Christ's worthy name. Amen. I've taken you in this passage to a hill outside of Jerusalem and a very solemn place because there are three men hanging on crosses and soon all three will be in the grave. One was the Lord Jesus Christ. The other two were convicted criminals. And I want to draw your attention to this brief conversation which had an immeasurable impact upon a dying man. One of those dying criminals turned to the Savior hanging beside him and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what a reply he got. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now you think of the significance of that promise. Here's a dying thief, and he desperately needs a promise like this. He was hanging on a cross. The life was draining out of him. He knew beyond doubt that very soon he would die. Very soon he would be in the grave. Very soon this man was going to be in eternity. And then what? Then what? You know, the great unknown of death, at least for many people, is one of the things that is so fearful. We plan out our lives as best as we can, but even if it does go roughly to plan. Someday, all of us, our plans are interrupted by death. That's what's happened here. We didn't ask for this, but our plans are interrupted by death. That's what happens in each one of our lives. And then what? And then even if we take a little bit of time to give our attention to God's word, we might even have more reason for fear. Because God's word does not leave us with the great unknown of death and what comes next. The Bible speaks of heaven. The Bible speaks of hell. It speaks of comfort. It speaks of torment. And death ushers us into one of two places, into the presence of Christ in heaven or into outer darkness. If we were to face death without any degree of certainty over what's next, then we're in a miserable condition and we should be fearful. Now you think of this man upon the cross. I wonder if he started to consider his eternal destination. I wonder if this man had begun to tremble knowing his own guilt. But what a difference these words made to him. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, what strength and what hope that promise must have given him as he faced the grave. And you know, it was this promise and the many others like it in the Word of God that Joy was able to hold on to by faith as she went the way of all the earth. She did not, praise God, she did not enter the grave with any need to doubt her destination. She had the promise of Christ, like this man. Today, shalt thou be with me in paradise? And what a difference that makes for we who grieve over her loss. Today, she is with Christ in paradise, in heaven itself. Now, you think of the substance of that promise. What a promise this is to give hope and gladness to the heart. Thou shalt be with me, Christ says, in paradise. Now, no matter how optimistic your view of this world is, I'm sure you don't describe this place as a place of paradise. We know by experience that this is no paradise. As it says in Job 5, verse 7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Yes, there are many things that make us happy, many things to rejoice in. But there are also many sorrows. There are many griefs that pierce our hearts, many pains that afflict us severely. And yet, for the child of God, death becomes the doorway to paradise. It is the entrance to real rest and undiluted gladness in the presence of the Lord. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache, blessedness, and that blessedness forevermore. And I would ask you to notice that when Christ gives this promise, not only does he say to the dying thief that he would be in paradise, he says something even better. Christ says, today shalt thou be with me, in paradise. You know, that's the chief comfort that thrills the heart of any believer who goes to the grave. Death is the entrance, yes, to paradise, but more than that, it's the entrance into the fullness of Christ's presence. Now, this might be something totally unintelligible to you if you're not saved today, but for we who know Jesus Christ, there is no greater thing that could be held out to us than these words, with me. You'll be with me. What is it that makes paradise paradise? What is it that makes heaven heaven? It is primarily the presence of Christ. It is that we are with the altogether lovely one. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul had such a thrill in his heart about what it would be to be with Christ. And he said he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, far better. Now again, if you're not saved, you probably have little idea what I'm talking about, and you might not understand why we would look forward to this. Yes, we might look forward to paradise, you can get that, but being with Christ, you know, maybe the instinct, I don't know your heart, but maybe your instinct is to run from the presence of Christ. But I tell you, for we whose hearts have been changed by the grace of God, there is no better prospect set before us than this, to be with him. What a comfort there is for our hearts on a day of grief like this. You know, we grieve, really and truly, we grieve today. We grieve for ourselves. We grieve because of the real pain that is felt in losing one that is so loved. But I tell you, we do not need to feel sorrow for joy in the slightest. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Joy is presently experiencing the meaning of her name more fully than she has ever done before. She had many happy days, I'm sure. I'm sure her heart rejoiced in the day she was married. I'm sure she was glad at the birth of her children. Of course, there was the happy day, and it was spoken to us a moment ago, the happy day when she was brought to faith in Jesus Christ and she knew her sins forgiven. What gladness was in her heart that day? There were the days of rejoicing, I'm sure, when she heard the news of many of her family members who were brought to Christ as well. And how many reasons for gladness there have been. I'm just picking the obvious ones. How many days of real gladness there were for her. Last week, she experienced a day that eclipsed all of that. That puts all of that into the shadows. She entered into the presence of her beloved Lord, and she began to experience the eternal fullness of joy that is found in his presence. She is with Christ, which is far better. Can I ask you today, do you have reason for the same hope that her sister had? Maybe I should ask, do you even have a heart to embrace that hope? Do you even have a heart which says, yes, I actually do want to be with Christ? What a blessing this is that's held out to the people of God. Now, I want you to think about the source of this promise. How was it that the Lord Jesus Christ could say something like this to a dying thief? He certainly couldn't do it on the basis of what that man deserved. The Lord was not able to look at that man and say to himself, well, you know, here's someone who has lived a respectable life and he's done many good things, and after a long life of service, he's earned his reward. He'll be with me in paradise. Christ couldn't say that about this man. This man did not deserve such a promise as this. In fact, he readily admitted as much just beforehand. He'd just finished turning to the other thief and saying, do you not fear God? We're hanging here justly for the crimes we've done. Do you not fear God? That criminal knew, I don't deserve God's blessing. Christ knew, looking at him, he didn't deserve the blessing of the Lord. The Savior could not make a promise like this on the basis that that man deserved it. But you know, even as we think of our sister Joy, and she'd be the first to admit this, the Lord could not give her a promise like this on the basis that she deserved it. Now, she lived a very different life to this criminal, and that is, unless she was extremely different in her younger days to the lady that I knew these past 5 years. But she lived a very different life to this criminal. Unlike this criminal, she's been loved and appreciated by so many that have known her. She's a woman that has used so much of her life with quiet, humble godliness. Certainly in the time I've known her, she's been a woman with a heart to serve God. She's so often been ready to do so behind the scenes without much praise sometimes, simply getting on with the things that need to be done, both in terms of active work in relation to the church and the activities, and also in terms of just faithfully serving the Lord in her home, meeting the needs for a husband and for her children and for those around her. Here's a woman who, for much of her life, has honored God by the way that she has lived with her eyes upon Christ. She's had a woman who's had an impact, a huge impact on her family, an impact for God. Trevor mentioned the other week there, after her passing away, that he found the words very appropriate in Judges 5, verse 6, where it speaks of Deborah, one of the judges in Israel, a judge that God used, a woman who he raised up and used as an immense instrument of blessing to Israel. And she's described there as a mother in Israel. And he mentioned how appropriate he sees those words of his dear wife, a woman who's been a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, and under God, an immense source of blessing to many around her. But although she had a very different life to that thief, she finds herself in the same position as him. And it's the position that all of us find ourselves in. There is not one of us who deserves a promise like this, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That is, there's none of us who can stand before the judgment bar of God and expect the judge to pronounce innocent. Not one of us. Isaiah 64 verse 6 tells us that we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Even the best that we do can't earn God's blessings. We can't stand before God based on what we've done. Some of us might be more respectable than others. Some of us might not have gone as far into the depths of sin as others, but all of us have this in common: we're sinners. And as sinners, we deserve the reward of our sin. Scripture's very clear about it: death and hell. And the natural question to ask then is, how can a promise like this be given to a thief on a cross? Or we could even ask, what right do we have to hold this promise for our sister Joy? What right do we have to lay claim to this promise for ourselves? But you know, Christ did not make this promise because the thief was good enough. Nor will he ever give you this promise because you're good enough. The Savior made this promise because of what he was doing at that very moment. See, while the thief hung there dying beside him, dying for crimes that he had committed, there's the Savior. And the Savior is hanging on in his cross, and he's dying as well. But he's not dying for his own sins. There he is, performing the great work for which he came into the world. He's dying not for his own sin, but to bear the sin and the guilt of all who put their trust in him. People like you or me. The wonder of the gospel message is that when we have sinned, when we have earned God's judgment, yet in order that he might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus, the Savior has gone to that cross to pay the penalty for us. We have hope today as we think of our sister Joy, because on that day, the Savior was on the cross bearing her sin. To use the language of Isaiah 53, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the result is, with his stripes, we are healed. We're forgiven. The reason Christ could give this wonderful promise to a man who didn't deserve it, the reason he can give this wonderful promise to Joy, the reason he can give this wonderful promise to you or me who put our trust in him, is because right in that moment, Christ was bearing our curse so that we can have his blessing. That's what he was doing for the thief, bearing that thief's curse, so that the thief could have Christ's blessings, though with a much more respectable life by God's grace. The reason that Joy is with Christ, which is far better, it's not that she was good enough, it's that Christ was there bearing her curse, that she might receive the blessing of God. And because Christ performed that work, there is hope today. Her hope was never that she was good enough. And, you know, praise God that I don't have to stand here in the pulpit and read you a list of all the good things that our sister did. There's plenty we could add to that list. But it's a good thing I don't have to read the list to you and try to give you enough evidence to say, well, hopefully she's done enough. Maybe she got there. All I need to do is to point you to that cross. And you see her Savior bearing her sin. You see her Savior dying in her place so that she can have the promise of everlasting life. And you know, today it's a day of sorrow, yes, but it's a day for the hearts of God's people to be thrilled with the gospel. We too can face the grave with hope in our hearts, with real confidence, not because we've done enough, not because we've slavishly gone through our lives trying to add to our tally, but because we gaze at that cross and we see a Savior who died and rose again then, that we might be given the blessing of God. That was Joy's hope. That's why there's real confidence for her today. Can I ask, is this your hope? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? If you're going to have the same hope as this dying thief, if you're going to have the same hope as Joy, then you need to put your trust in their Savior. Every one of us needs to receive this promise ourselves. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. One of the blessings of a time like this, as we're gathered together in the house of mourning, is that so often the Lord uses a time like this to seize our attention from all the distractions of the world round about, and the Lord uses it to remind us the day is coming when we'll be the one whose funeral it is. We'll be going that way too. And as your turn comes, you need the hope. You need the comfort that only Jesus Christ can provide. You need this promise. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. And you might look at this and you'd ask, well, how can I have that promise? Well, consider this thief. Nothing in himself he could point to. But he came to his senses. He recognized his own sinfulness and he simply called out to Christ, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That was a statement of faith. He recognized Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. He's the one able to save me. He's the one, if he remembers me, if he's willing to show mercy to me, I'll have it. And Christ gave him, freely gave him, what was needed. So too with Joy. Christ freely gave her what was needed. So too with you. If you'll come and put your trust in this Savior who gives a hope that defies the grave, as you consider the solemn reality of death today, and it's a hard thing to do, but it's a good thing to do, would you not look to Christ and rest in Christ and rejoice in this Savior who gives us comfort today over Joy and who can give you comfort as you go the way of all the earth? What a promise this is, and it's extended to you if you'll receive it. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Will you receive it today? Praise God, our sister did. Praise God, there's hope for her today and comfort for a grieving family. She had this promise. She is with Christ, which is far better. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we marvel at your great goodness to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ should go to that cross and die and shed his blood, that he might go into the tomb for we who have broken your law. And we praise thee, O God, that he has risen again with victory over sin and death and hell. And we thank thee for the triumph that truly is held out to us here at a time like this through Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the comfort that there is for a grieving family as we recognize that your grace has made all the difference in Joy's life and for eternity. And we thank thee, O God, for the free offer that is held out to each and every one of us to look on to this same Savior and to receive this same comfort for ourselves. Be pleased to use your word today. Be pleased to give all the helps that are necessary. Minister to our needs, each one, and may Christ be glorified. We ask these things in the name of him who is the resurrection and the life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to take our booklets again and sing the final hymn that you'll see there just in the back pages. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. And it says, love lifted me. This is what we've been talking about. This is the hope that we have. In fact, this is what Joy could have said for herself. Yes, she, like everyone else, was sinking deep in sin, but the love of God in Christ lifted her. Praise God. Now, before we sing, can I just make mention that if you remain standing at the close of the hymn, and also for the benediction, but also following the funeral service here, the family will be leaving for a private graveside service. There are refreshments available in the main hall here in Lough, and each one of you is very welcome to go and avail of that, and Lord willing, the family will join with you there following the graveside service. I've been asked to mention that although we are leaving fairly promptly, that the coffin will remain at the hearse for a few moments at the close of the service for those who wish to go past and pay your respects. There are some sprigs of foliage that you can use as well, apparently. I'm sure they'll be sitting somewhere obvious that you can see them. Do please keep the family in your prayers at what you'd understand to be a very difficult time. I pray that the Lord would uphold each one of them, that they would know the everlasting arms of God around about and underneath. Let's stand together for the singing of this hymn.
I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. By guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ my Savior lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. When the waves of sorrow roll, when I am in distress, Jesus takes my hand in his, ever he loves to bless. He will every fear dispel, satisfy every need. All who heed his loving call find rest indeed. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me.
Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And now the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Thank you.